God is calling our church to build ministry that seeks the lost, makes disciples, and meets needs. We're in a series. We've been calling it Greater. It's been the name of the series, Greater. And today I want to share a message with you entitled, How to Fight Your Battles. You're going to see why as we move through the message. I need you to give me just a little bit of leeway to teach it before I preach it. But this whole series has been anchored in one verse above all else, and that is this: greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. And so what we're celebrating is that when we accept Jesus as Savior, when we acknowledge him as Lord of our life, when he comes in us, he's greater than anything or anyone that could be against us. Greater. Thank God for Jesus. I want to show you this passage of text. It's in Book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your time of ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So we are made in the image of God, and God is holy. In fact, Revelation 4, Isaiah chapter 6, the two most beautiful pictures we have in all of Scripture of the throne room of God, when the angels are celebrating God, they don't talk about the power, they don't talk about the grace, they don't talk about the love. Scripture says they celebrate his holiness. It is the one attribute of God that sticks out in heaven above all the rest. Now, the word holy, you could theologically define it to mean a lot of different things. But really, when you really just drill down on it and you take it apart and you come to understand, what holiness means is to be set apart. And what God is saying is that he is set apart into a pure place. He's set apart into a clean place. And he even tells us, if you want to see me, be pure in heart, be clean. And so God is inviting us to also be set apart, to be holy as he is holy. And what you're going to discover as we move through this message today is that if you want to win your war, that's how you're going to have to fight your battles. How to fight your battles. Would you pray with me? Father, help me to preach. Help me to teach. God, give me an anointing that would allow the word to go forth without hindrance, without distraction. God, I pray right now that people's hearts would be tilled and that there would be fertile soil for the seed of the word. And God, you would give me a grace. Give me grace, Father, in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen. I wonder, like, do you ever wish that you could change? You know, do you ever wish that you could be different? You ever just wish that the way you are is not the way that you are? Like, just sometimes we just wish that we could change. And yet it seems like sometimes that we struggle with that. And I think one of the reasons that we struggle with it is because we don't understand that there is a war going on inside of us. Every single one of us right now have a war going on inside of us. And the book of Galatians actually gives us a really clear picture of that war. It says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. They're at war with each other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So when you're making a statement like, well, I wish that this part of me was different. I wish that I could change. If you're not seeing the difference, if you're not seeing the change, there's a very good possibility it's because you're losing the battle. And the reason you're losing the battle is because the wrong side of the warfare is prevailing. Inside of you, spirit wars against flesh, and flesh wars against spirit, and they're warring over your soul. And your soul is your mind, it's your will, it's your emotions. And so the spirit side of you is trying to pull your mind, your will, your emotions to experiencing God. But the flesh side of you is trying to pull your mind, your will, and your emotions to the things of this world. So you got to get this. Inside of you, there's a war. Spirit wars against flesh, and flesh wars against spirit. And here's the deal. The one you feed the most is the one that will win. And so what we have to understand is that the flesh feeds on the world, and the spirit feeds on the word. So the flesh is constantly craving more things of the world, and the spirit is constantly craving more things that are in God's word. And so if you are feeding on the world, then your flesh is going to win. And if you're feeding on the word, your spirit is going to win. Some passages that kind of walk us through the appetite of the flesh would be 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It tells us, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these things are not of our Heavenly Father, but they are of the world. So when you're wrestling with the lust of your flesh, when you're wrestling with the lust of your eye, when you're wrestling with the pride of life, that is your flesh wanting the things of the world, which are not of God and not of His Word. At the same time, the appetite of the spirit, but Jesus answered and He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What He's saying is that if you're truly going to live, you're going to have to feed something more than your natural man. You're going to have to also make sure that you are feeding your spirit man. Your spirit woman, that the spirit side of you is getting engaged with the presence of God. Here's what happens. If you spend too much time feeding the flesh, you're going to feel separation from God and shame on self. Shame on you. That's what you're going to feel. But if you feed the spirit, you're going to experience the presence of God and peace that is beyond anything you could have ever experienced in your own power or your own might or your own self. Let me give you an example. Adam and Eve, they are in the Garden of Eden, and they are told what they are allowed to feed on and what they are not allowed to feed on. They are told you can eat from this tree, you cannot eat from that tree. Eat from this tree, feed your spirit. Don't eat from that tree, it feeds your flesh. What do? They get drawn away, they go over there, they eat from the wrong tree, and instantly God shows up and says, Adam, where are you? It's not because God didn't know where Adam was. It was because God was trying to notify Adam that as a result of the sinful decision, separation had come in their relationship. And instantly, they also start to feel shame. Adam and Eve both, they're naked and they're ashamed of it. And they want to clothe. There was no shame until they sinned. Now they've sinned and they feel all this shame. And so if you're in a season where you feel separated from God, where God doesn't feel near, if you're in a season where you feel like you're dealing with a lot of guilt and a lot of condemnation and you're wrestling with a lot of shame, there's a very good possibility that you have been feeding your flesh more than your spirit. At the same time, Scripture teaches us that through the example of Adam and Eve, that when you feed your spirit, you experience the presence of God. In fact, every day God was showing up to take a walk with them. And not only that, but they had incredible peace. They didn't know what it was to experience sorrow. They didn't know what it was to experience pain. They didn't have any idea of what it was like to even see decay. They're just walking in peace. And so think about this, appetite of the flesh, appetite of the spirit. Which one of those are you feeding the most often? Is your flesh, spiritually speaking, being fed more than your spirit? Is your spirit being fed more than your flesh? Because whichever one you're feeding the most is the one that's going to beat up the other one. It's the one that's going to win the battle. So here's the way Scripture lays it out. It says, if you are carnally minded, you're going to experience death. But if you are spiritually minded, you're going to experience life and peace. So if I constantly put the world into my mind and carnal things, I'm going to wrestle with these spiritual death, but if I'm constantly feeding my mind on the things of God and the things of God's word, then I'm going to walk in life and in peace. So here's what you have to understand. We are separated from the word by the world, or we are set apart from the world by the word. Y'all still with me? Come on, let's take another look at it. Because every single one of us are in one of these two categories at every place in our spiritual journey. We are either separated from the word by the world, or we are set apart from the world by the word. So the question becomes, are you experiencing separation from God, or are you set apart for God? Are you experiencing this feeling of, I just don't feel like God is near. I don't feel like my relationship with God is what it should be. I feel separated from God. I can't tell you the last time I felt God's presence. I feel like there's some kind of separation between me and God. Or are you living a life that is set apart for God, where that your life is dedicated to the things of God? That passage that we read at the very beginning, in the book of 1 Peter, I want to go back to that, because everywhere that we put the word holy, we could actually insert the words set apart. So it actually could read like this: but as he who is called, who called you is set apart, you also be set apart in all of your conduct, because it is written, be set apart, for God is set apart. So God sets this example of being set apart. You know how many times in the Bible that you are called and commissioned to be set apart? Scripture says things like this: come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Scripture says things like this: what fellowship hath light with darkness? Scripture implies things like this: that you will be in the world, but you will not be of the world. What God is pointing out to us is that in order for us to be the light, we can't look like the darkness. And so something has to transpire in our life to where that we fully begin to yield to God in such a way that there are places in our life that we are set apart. Another place that it's mentioned in Scripture, 2 Timothy, it says this: nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who calls on the name of Jesus depart, be set apart from iniquity. When you throw your hand in the air and you say, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior, I want to make Jesus my Lord, what you are saying is that you are welcoming a born again experience in your life, so that old things would pass away and that everything would become new in your life, and that the sin, even of your past, would be taken as far away from you as the east is from the west. It doesn't mean you will never mess up again. It doesn't mean you'll never have a mistake. We're not in heaven yet. We're going to trip. We're going to stumble, probably at the best that we can do. But when we begin to understand that God is calling us to be set apart, we start to realize, wait a second, that old hurt doesn't get to hold me any longer. That old hang up doesn't get to trip me any longer. That old habitual sin, it doesn't get to tell me where I'm going to spend my Friday nights any longer. I've been set apart. And so when you start talking about being set apart, you really start to wonder, like, well, how can I know that I'm set apart? Like, is there some kind of test that I can take? Well, I promise you, Beulah and Freddie will be more than glad to give you their opinion on whether you're set apart or not. But let's take a look at the word for a second. There's a lot of litmus tests in Scripture that can help you to understand if you're living a life that shows the fruit of being set apart. In fact, this passage that we just read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, right after it talks about, you know, that God wants his people who call on the name of his son to live a set apart lifestyle, it goes into the next few verses of telling you what it looks like if you are set apart. We're not going to read the text. You guys trust me, right? Wow. We got to work on the trust issues. All right, so verses 22 through 25 is just a summary of them. And what it tells us is that if you're going to live a set apart life, you need to avoid youthful lust, foolish disputes, needless quarrels, and prideful correction of others. Would anyone like to bring their Facebook to the front so that we can go through your feed? And just examine what you're avoiding. Your text messages, your conversations, your DMs, like your email account, those conversations around the table, or the water cooler, or driving down the road, like, are you avoiding? Hey, young person, you want to live a set-apart life? Stop using your youth as an excuse to indulge in lust and instead decree and declare, I will be an example of everything that God wants to do in the earth regardless of my age. Set apart. Hey, older person, you want to correct somebody? Fine. Do you have to do it with pride? Because Scripture points out that if we're living a set-apart life, these are just a handful of things we're going to avoid. But the thing I love about Scripture, it doesn't just tell us what to avoid, it tells us what to pursue. Same passage of text, verses 22 through 25, we find out that we need to be pursuing the right things with other believers. And it lists those. It says righteousness, faith, love, and peace. It's like if you're with another believer, don't pursue gossip, don't pursue backbiting, don't pursue what kind of dirt you can get on somebody next. But pursue righteousness and love and peace and faith in gentleness. Like pursue gentleness. Let it come into your relationships. Let it come in the way that you converse. Pursue patience. Pursue humility, especially when you're correcting someone else. So if you're, just take a look at your life for a second. Just let the Holy Spirit help you to examine. And if you're saying, okay, I definitely want to live a set apart lifestyle, then this is just a great starting point to take a look at some things that show us what we need to be avoiding and what we need to be pursuing with the help of the Holy Spirit to live set apart. What Paul's teaching you is that there are some things that you ought to be running from, and there are other things that you ought to run to. I think about Adam and Eve, okay? And we're back in the garden again, all right? And they're told, don't eat this, eat that. Well, what do? They eat that instead of this. And this is what they're told. They're told, if you feed your flesh, if you eat the thing you're not supposed to eat, you will surely die. Y'all know your Bible. That's awesome. But I'm confused because they ate it and they didn't drop dead. I mean, when you think about if you eat that, you'll die, I instantly think of a poison that's going to end their life. Something toxic is going to instantly put them in the sick bed. But that's not how it happened at all. Instead, they took a bite. And it seems like the death came rather slowly. It's amazing to me that Scripture teaches us that each one is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires and enticed. And then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, say it with me, when it is full grown, brings death. Yeah. Sin functions more like an infection than a landmine. I was talking with my friends this week, and he's a Bible college president, so that means he's smart. He gave me this analogy, talking about some things. And he says, you know, Eric, you think about a landmine. Somebody, they walk up, they never intended to step on it, but they do. Blows their leg off. The leg is gone. And things have got to be sutured back. But with the right care, survival is possible. It's an instantaneous loss that requires immediate healing or the efforts of healing. But if you get cut on your leg and you don't monitor that cut, it can get infected. And that infection can begin to spread until a decision has to be made, you lose your entire leg. However, once infection is in that leg, the reason it's all so dangerous is because it affects the entire body. And that, my friends, is sin. Sure, there's some landmine moments. You go out on your spouse, you're going to blow something up. Definitely, there are landmines in sin. But the thing that most struggle with is the infection of sin. Because it's decaying slowly. When sin entered the world through Adam and Eve and their choice to feed on the wrong thing, the rocks began to crumble. The body finally began to wrinkle. Sweat began to be produced on the brow during labor. The woman began to experience pain during childbirth. And slowly, they're fruitful. They're multiplying, but now one son is warring against the other son unto the point of murder. That suddenly there's sexual immorality and sin that's falling into the family tree. It's an infection. And that is the way sin works. And so you start trying to talk to people about holiness. And they'll get a little bit edgy and a little bit upset because nobody's going to tell me what to do with my life. You're going to tell me how to dress. Well, we're not interested in how you dress. We're interested in the heart that's causing you to dress that way. Well, nobody's going to tell me where I can go and where I'm not going to go. We really don't care where you go and what you do. We're trying to keep you from I didn't expect much help right there. It's the first time I've said all that all day long. Couldn't get the sound system to work in Campbellsville or I'd have said it there too. Slides didn't work in Columbia or I'd have said it there too. Hey. Anybody following me? So sometimes what we miss is that holiness doesn't bind, it frees. And anytime that holiness is preached and it binds rather than bringing freedom, it's not holiness being preached. It's legalism disguising as holiness. And so the thing you have to understand is that when you're choosing to live a life that is set apart for God, you work with the Holy Spirit to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before the Lord. And there's going to be some things that he speaks to you specifically about that maybe used to be a regular part of your life, but now you're going to be set apart. Holiness doesn't bind, it frees. That you shall know the truth and it shall make you where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. And so God wants to bring his word into your life to help keep you away from the mess of the world. He doesn't want you to be separated from him. He wants you to be set apart for him. And as you are set apart for him, suddenly now your witness has a greater influence because you're not over here following a bunch of man-made checklists about do this, don't do that. You are following the leading of the Holy Spirit about how he's having you to have a conversation, about how he's having you to abstain from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, because you don't want anything to make your hands unclean or your heart unpure or your mind unrenewed, because you've come to learn if I give him clean hands and I give him a pure heart and I give him a renewed mind, there is nothing that God cannot do through a consecrated, humble individual. So yield to the work of the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing that Scripture goes on to say. We've already looked at it. We look at it again for the sake of emphasis. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who knows the name of Christ or names that name depart, be set apart from sin. Amen. Same verse, different highlight. The Lord knows those who are his. He knows you because you call on his name. But he also knows you because you've yielded to being set apart. And you didn't just pray some weak, watered-down prayer because somebody told you to repeat after them. Although that very much could save you if you mean it from the bottom of your heart. But the key is, you got to mean it from the bottom of your heart. You got to be willing to say, yeah, God, I'm really done with being separated from you. I'm ready to be set apart for you. God, I want you to know that I'm yours. And here's the awesome thing. God never sets apart anything that he doesn't surround. So if he wants to set you apart, it's because he intends to surround you with his presence. The psalmist said it this way. He said, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. You want to know how me and you fight our battles? Set apart from the world and surrounded by God's presence. That's how we fight, and that's how we win. I wish I could get an amen from somebody in Russell Springs, Kentucky this morning. Come on. That's how we win. That's how we win. And they're going to play some music, and I want to show you just a couple more verses. And the way that we get to this place where that we can be set apart from the world and we can be surrounded by God, it all starts right where we started. 1 Peter chapter 1. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Watch this. Rest your hope. Say it out loud with me, would you? Fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you get the revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ, when you get the revelation of the good news of Jesus Christ, it begins to set this course in your life where that you're not conforming to your old self, but you know that he's calling you to holiness, to be set apart, so that you will be set apart, even in your conduct, because it is written, he's holy, he's set apart, God. So God, help me to become an example of holiness and being set apart so that I don't bring reproach to the name of Jesus. So that I don't become a stumbling block to anyone else's faith or their spiritual journey. So that I don't live a life of hypocrisy, testifying of life-changing power but never yielding to it. Testifying that old things can pass away but never experiencing it. You can. You can experience total life transformation simply by making the decision, I'm not going to perpetually feed my flesh. I'm going to make sure that I feed my spirit. And the way I'm going to feed my spirit is on the Word of God. And when the Word and the Spirit have a head-on collision, a divine intersection in my life, I'm going to be set up so that I'm set apart for God and surrounded by God, and every battle looks different from that moment forward. Doesn't mean you never get hit. It doesn't mean a weapon's never formed. It just means you approach it differently because you understand. First and foremost, I am surrounded by the presence of God, and that's how I'm going to fight my battles. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, every eye to be closed. Some of you today, you need to acknowledge the revelation of Jesus Christ as Savior. I've seen today, it's been amazing. I mean, despite technical difficulties and different things, like people have, just one after the other, put a hand in the air and said, I want to be set apart for God. I don't want to be separated from him. And so many of them have admitted that if they're honest, it's really for the first time ever that they're asking God to do that, and they truly mean it. And so let me ask you this morning, maybe for the very first time, you say, I need to experience the power and the grace of Jesus and his cross. I need old things to pass away. I need everything to become new. I need Jesus to deal with the sin that's in my life. Maybe it's not landmine sin, but it's an infection. You say, I need Jesus to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I need to give my life to him, and I want to do that. Throw that hand up in the air. Like, don't hesitate. Don't resist. Stop worrying about who's beside you, who's behind you. Right now, this is a conversation between you and heaven. You need to go all in. Like just totally and completely surrender. Surrender there. You keep the heads bowed, the eyes closed. It's amazing. There are hands up multiple places across this room. You're not alone right now. Like there are people who are making this decision with you. And right now, I want you just to begin to ask Jesus to save you. And mean that from the bottom of your heart. Believe that he is willing to do that. Now, in the process of this prayer, confess some stuff. Like maybe it's stuff that nobody else knows. Maybe it's stuff that's been shame on you for years. And right now, you just need to confess that to Jesus. And then ask God for the faith that you're going to be able to declare to anybody and everybody that you are set apart as a follower of Jesus. You're not who you used to be. Some things have changed as a result of the decision you've made today. Father God, touch their lives. Touch their lives. God, let your grace settle down on them. Let them feel the warmth of the love of heaven come all around them right now. God, they're stepping out from an old life into a new life. They're being set apart by you for such a time as this. God, put your hand on them. Let them feel you surrounding them right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Listen, if you prayed that prayer and you meant it with everything in you, before this day ends, you got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. Maybe even just tell everybody. Let them know I'm a Jesus follower. And that changes everything. I want to ask you, Three Trees Church, would you stand with me to your feet? And the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice when even just one person gets saved. And there was a lot more than that that got saved just a moment ago. I want you to help me give God praise all over this room. Listen, we welcome you to the family of God. We're excited for you. You're going to need to go public with that decision. And so you can go to 3trees.com. You can let us know what happened in your life. And then we'd love to be a part of helping you go public with your faith through baptism. It's a great next step for you. I hope you'll do that.